D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Yes, indeed. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
We have to also consider this is an issue of life and death, and this is not an issue of privacy.
If this law goes into effect, it could very well close us down.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. I'm Frank Wright. This week will mark the 43rd anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion in America. Since then, over 50 million children have been killed in the womb as a result. As you'll see on today's program, the advocates of abortion are pressing their agenda like never before. But there have also been encouraging advances on the pro-life front. Joining us today is Janique Stewart, a former Crisis Pregnancy Center director who now speaks to over 25,000 students and young people each year on God's design for biblical sexuality and the sanctity of life. Janique, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
Many people come to the pro-life issue from different perspectives. Some are driven by the science, the undeniable science of the life of the unborn. Others come from a biblical perspective, a philosophical perspective. How did you first get involved, and what were the animating ideas behind your engagement in pro-life work?
Actually, both. I think it's so important that we look, yes, at the theological and understand God's design for humanity, looking at our origins. But secondly, I also think it's so important that we also are able to make the case for life using science, because it's not as if they're at odds with one another. Absolutely not. In fact, the science of embryology actually shows that from the very earliest stages, the moment of conception, the unborn is a distinct, living, whole human being. So I think it's so important that we use both the theology as well as the science.
You speak to 25,000 plus young people each year. That's certainly discouraging to hear their view about humanity of the baby in the womb. What, though, encourages you about the response of young people today? Are there signs, hopeful signs among young people that you're seeing?
Absolutely. Most of the time when they see the truth, they are truly changed by it. And oftentimes, students that initially have their hands crossed, they don't want to hear anything, at the end will say, well, miss, how in the world is this even legal? How is this legal? What can we do to stop it? So ultimately, when they see the truth for what it is, many of them are willing to step up and take a stand for truth. But that is how come we have to equip them with the conversational skills necessary to do so.
Janique, what is one thing that if people who hold a pro-abortion perspective understood that one thing better, that might change their thinking about this issue?
I think if they truly understood that the unborn is a human being, it's a whole person.
Back to the central issue.
If they truly understood that, because again, what are most people taught in the schools? Tissue, product of conception, potential life is even used, those terms. Mm-hmm. Now, I find it also very interesting, a lot of women that have had children, if you ask a woman, even sometimes that's pregnant, what's going on gestationally, they have no idea.
No clue.
So that shows the level of deception and the lack of information. And so literally, Hosea 4:6, there's a principle that we can use here. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Women are having abortions because of a lack of knowledge about what the unborn actually is. Mm. And so that's why it's so vital that people understand that they see and understand that that is a whole human being, distinct, but it's alive.
It's the central issue that drives everything else. Without that understanding, you won't be able to grasp all the misdirection and false issues that are raised and all the things that are trying to keep you from really seeing the truth that in your body, if you're pregnant, is a child made in the image of Almighty God.
Absolutely.
Well, Janique, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, there's no question that an evolutionary worldview has enabled abortion to flourish. When we discard the idea that human beings are created in the image of God and instead view them as products of chance, the value of life is greatly diminished. But scientific evidence is now beginning to turn against those who believe life arose randomly. As Dr. D. James Kennedy shares, the evidence for a creator and designer is greater than ever.
Today I would like to tell you about something that I sincerely doubt that a handful of you have ever heard of before. Something which is of enormous consequence and of great importance. It is a scientific discovery which indeed impacts strongly upon our faith. It is a discovery which is as momentous as the observation that the earth goes around the sun, or that disease is caused by bacteria, or that radiation is emitted in quanta. And what is this incredible discovery? It is, and I quote from Professor Dr. Michael Behe, who is a microbiologist, a biochemist at Lehigh University. And he says, in a marvelous book, which I am very indebted to for this message, he says this. He says, what was discovered is that at its base, life is composed of machines. A rather astounding discovery. That at our foundational level, and he's talking about the level within the cell, at the molecular level, we are made of machines. Not one or two or 10 or 1,000 or 1,000,000, but trillions of machines. And we have about 1,000,000,000,000 machines in every one of our 3 trillion cells. And yet it's all made not of metal or plastic, but it's made of living tissue, largely protein, in all different shapes and forms. And it is a fascinating thing to see. Now, this discovery was made because of technological advances in microscopes. In Darwin's day, the microscopes were pretty weak, and so he thought of the cell something like a small ping-pong ball with a pea in it. In fact, it's interesting that the key to persuading people of evolution was the portrayal of cells as simple. Because the whole thrust of evolution is movement from the simple to the complex. And therefore, it had to begin with what Darwin repeatedly called a simple single cell. And that's what enabled him to convince the scientific world of the possibilities of evolution. Now, in the last decade or so since this discovery has been made, there have been thousands of articles, scientific papers, books that have been written about it to other scientists, describing this astonishing Lilliputian world of millions, trillions of machines. But he began to make a computer search of all of the books, of all of the reports, of all of the scientific conventions, of all of the various articles that had been written to find something that at least attempted to explain where that mind-boggling complexity came from, at the very rock bottom level of our existence. And he says, there was a strange and eerie silence. Thousands of articles talking about it, not one attempting even to explain it. It is beyond the ability of evolutionary science because they are irreducibly complex. He uses a very, very simple illustration of what is meant by irreducible. That means some kind of a machine that has a number of different interrelated parts where if you remove any one of them, the machine won't work at all. And that's what these machines are. He gives as a simple illustration a mousetrap, which is made up of about six or seven little pieces. We're all familiar what they are. It's irreducible because if you remove any one of them, you won't simply catch fewer mice, you won't catch any mice at all. And that's what these machines are. There is no way that they could have built up from something simple. That, dear friend, is what you are. There are more machines inside of you than in all of the factories of the world combined. Yes, indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, it is interesting that Darwin said in his book, he knew the theory of gradual evolution by natural selection carried a heavy burden. And this is what he said. If it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. Dr. Behe says that this discovery of irreducible complexity at the very base of life meets that criterion and thus breaks down, completely destroys the theory of evolution. And the conclusion, he says, as we reach the end of this book, we are left with no substantive defense against what feels to be a strange conclusion, that life was designed by an intelligent agent. And the simple single cell that Darwin postulated and that modern science sought has proven to be a phantom instead. And in place of that, he says they find systems of horrendous, irreducible complexity that inhabit the cell. People sometimes ask if God has a sense of humor. I think he does. People set out to prove that there was no God, and that life is the result of merely naturalistic and materialistic causes. God looked down at one of the 3 trillion cells in your body, each inhabited by a trillion complex machines. And he looked into that machinery, and he smiled. And he said, wait till they get a look at this.
As Dr. Kennedy has just explained, the human body shows astonishing evidence of having been designed by God. The practice of abortion, on the other hand, is based on an evolutionary worldview. In this view, human beings are simply the products of matter, time, and chance. As a result, they have no inherent value, only the value that we choose to place on them. And because children in the womb are less fully developed, some say they are fair game to be targeted and eliminated. The pro-life movement has made impressive strides in recent years in helping people once again understand the true humanity of the fetus. When women are counseled to understand that their baby is a person, statistically, they're much less likely to have an abortion. As you're about to see, this is something the pro-abortionists apparently can't stand for. Here's Jerry Newcomb with more.
One of the great ministries of our time is the work of the Crisis Pregnancy Centers, which provide loving alternatives to abortion. A Women's Friend in Marysville, California is one such example. But now a new law in California is targeting those centers and could ultimately shut some of them down.
AB 775, also known as the Reproductive Fact Act, will require the licensed pregnancy clinics in California to post a sign in a conspicuous location in our waiting rooms that tells women where they can get a free or low-cost abortion. It provides a phone number for them to call.
Carol Dodds is the director of A Woman's Friend in Marysville, California.
And so, in effect, if a woman walks in our doors and reads that sign, she might say, oh, I could get a free abortion at that number, and she'll turn around and walk out before we ever get to talk to her.
This is so repugnant. It is so opposite of what they believe in that to have that advertisement promoting something that is completely disagreeing with the pro-life message is so discouraging that many of them will probably just shut down. We know that.
Attorney Brad Dacus is the director of the Pacific Justice Institute, which has filed suit against this new law on behalf of A Woman's Friend and all the other crisis pregnancy centers in California.
This is like telling Alcoholics Anonymous that before they can have a meeting, they have to have a large poster or handouts as to where their members can go to get free booze.
There have been some complaints that it gives the appearance that we as a clinic are saying an abortion would be a good alternative for you without even speaking to the patients. So some of the medical directors of the other clinics have expressed concern that it is speaking for them as medical professionals, saying that they support abortion and here's where you would go to get one.
One of those women helped by A Woman's Friend is Hillary, who 2 years ago found herself in a difficult situation.
I found out that I was pregnant and I was addicted to heroin at the time and homeless. So I decided that I could not take care of a child. I could barely take care of myself, just my situation in my life, and I decided that I needed to have an abortion. I called Planned Parenthood to find out how to get an abortion set up, and they told me I needed a proof of pregnancy and an ultrasound. So I came here, I knew what their mission was and what they would, that they would be against me having an abortion. They would try to talk me out of it, but I just figured, okay, well, I can just get, you know, go through it, however, and just get my proof of pregnancy so I can get this abortion. Well, when I came through these doors, they were so wonderful here. They were so kind to me and not judgmental. Once I saw the ultrasound, I knew that my heart and my mind had been changed and that I wanted to have my baby.
Are you glad that you chose life for your baby?
I don't even know where I would be right now without him. I love him so much, and he gives me this motivation that I never had. And he has changed my life, and God has just blessed me with my beautiful boy. And through some of these wonderful ladies here, I now am a Christian and have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
What do you think of this new law requiring clinics like this to say, hey, if you want an abortion, here's the number to call, low cost or free?
Women come in here so early in their pregnancy, and if they see that and they call that number, you know, Planned Parenthood might convince them that it's just a blob of tissue or some of the lies I've heard. And I've been to Planned Parenthood before, so I know that they tell you lies and make you think that the life isn't important. I would be so devastated right now if I would have had an abortion. And I know some people who have had abortions, and everybody that I know that's had an abortion, and I know several women who have been in my situation and they chose the abortion instead, and they regret that now. They go through their lives sad.
When this was signed into law, we filed our lawsuit to challenge this within 24 hours.
If I lived in another state, why should I care about what happens in California?
If we are not successful in halting this new law, other states that are dominated with liberal state legislative bodies will feel empowered to adopt similar legislation that will also infringe upon the rights of women to get the kind of counseling and support that they are seeking instead of being pushed away and encouraged to going somewhere else that is not what they're truly seeking. So this is not just a one state issue.
Where are you in the lawsuit against this unjust law?
We're going to continue with this litigation as far and as long as we need to, even if it goes to the Ninth Circuit or the Supreme Court, because we're talking here about not just an isolated incident and one person's impact. We're talking about defending the significance and the applicability of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution to religious institutions, not to have to advertise and promote something that goes totally against who they are and what they're about.
The abortion industry has ramped up its efforts to silence its pro-life critics because they know that it has a negative effect on their bottom line. True information and education about the nature of abortion and the humanity of unborn babies is absolutely anathema, at least to them. At this critical moment in history, when the abortion industry is being publicly exposed for the horrors it's perpetrated, it's more important than ever to get the truth out. And we have some great resources to help you do just that. My friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy joins me to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. For too long, the abortion industry in America has been able to do what they do because of lies and ignorance. They've spread falsehoods about the nature of an unborn baby in the womb, saying that it's just a blob of tissue, that it's not really human yet, and that it doesn't feel any pain. A generation of Americans brought up on the myths of evolution has believed them. And as you've seen on today's program, the abortion industry has actively worked to silence crisis pregnancy centers and others who tell the truth. Truth is the most important weapon we have in the battle for life. And my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, knew that. He taught eloquently and persuasively on the lies of evolution and abortion and about the sanctity of human life. And we want to send you an important collection of his teaching. It's the new book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. It's the newest in the ongoing Kennedy collection, and it features six vital messages, including the full version of the title message, a short portion of which you saw today. We'll send you this small, powerful book as our thanks for a donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we'll send you the book plus the 6 DVD or 6 CD set of these messages as well. You'll want to share these messages with friends and family, your pastor, and your church. Helping people understand the biblical truth about abortion is one of the most important contributions we can make to the cause of saving the lives of children. And when you give, you'll not only receive these messages, but you'll be helping us broadcast them to millions more people through our television, radio, internet, and print outreaches. So please, contact us today to receive the Kennedy Collection book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, as thanks for your generous donation. And if you can give a generous donation of $40 or more, you'll receive the book plus the 6 DVD or 6 CD set of the same name featuring these powerful messages. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762 or go online to djameskennedy.org.
Recently, on the social media site Twitter, Planned Parenthood used its official feed to post this message. Imagine life in a magical land where abortions and birth control are free and plentiful. This place exists. The abortion Shangri-La they're referring to turns out to be England, where the national healthcare system provides abortions. The linked article goes on to lament the fact that Obamacare has not yet been able to force conscientious objectors to pay for abortions. It's always interesting to see the so-called pro-choice movement show its true colors. Claiming they're in favor of choice, they're actually in favor of one choice, abortion. When it comes to those who want to give women information about the mental and physical health effects of abortion, or about fetal development, the pro-abortion movement acts to silence them and suppress that information. They want abortion to be advertised, offered, and even funded by those who have deep moral objections to it. Some choice. Why would a movement claiming to be about choice and about women's health want to censor opposing views? The ultimate goal of the abortion movement is to have a nationalized healthcare system in which abortions are plentiful and those with moral objections are compelled to go along nevertheless. They've already tried to force compliance through Obamacare's contraceptive mandate. Thankfully, federal courts have thus far ruled in favor of conscience. But the abortion industry has a literal fortune on the line and will continue its battle to coerce Americans to adopt its agenda. Still, as the Apostle Peter and the other apostles told the high priests, we must obey God rather than men. The biblical truth that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God and created in His image means that we Christians must and will never capitulate on the sanctity of human life. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
It's only POC, a clump of cells. It's like a wart. Lies! It is a baby.
Because they're in a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. And if you saw someone in a crisis situation, you'd do whatever you could to help that individual.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.